Praise God. Well, Father, we ask you for your wisdom, not just natural, earthly wisdom, although that's good, but we thank you for supernatural keys that'll help promote us in life and bring glory to your name. Everyone said amen. Praise God. Well, I'm doing a series on nine things you simply must do to succeed in life and love. And it's from a book written by, what's his name? Dr. Cloud. Yes, Dr. Cloud. And it's just a great book, and we'll put it in the library. And if this whets your appetite, I encourage you to get it out, study it, underline it, absorb it. Did I say underline? Oh, just seeing if you're paying attention. So, well, get your own book and underline it. It's an investment well worth making. The Bible says, "Make wisdom the main thing." And if we get wisdom, we'll be happy, and wisdom will promote us. Many of us are looking for promotion in our work, in our business, in life, in our relationships. The Bible says, just get some wisdom and that'll take care of everything. It'll promote you. It'll promote you. So the last one I touched on was number three, which was play the movie. In other words, don't make a decision before you've given some thought to the consequences of what you're about to say or what you're about to do. And we looked at some areas, looked at relationships. We looked at the area of morality, health, and finances. And I didn't quite finish, so I'm going to quickly go through that and then try and get another one done, because otherwise we'll be getting behind. So, addictions. Play the movie. Well, it's obvious. We know what happens if you do drugs. We know what happens if you become an alcoholic. We know what happens, you know, if you do crime. Crime doesn't pay. People still do it. People still gamble. The statistics are hugely in favor of people losing all their money rather than winning. But people still do it. Play the movie. Don't go there. But I want to look at this one from a slightly different perspective. I want us to play the movie backwards. Because why do people give themselves to alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever? Why? How do they become addicted? What is it that happens before their addiction? Play the movie backwards. In other words, it's not just what happens after you get drunk, but play the movie leading up to what causes the addiction. For example, if I work too hard for too long without rest, do I open myself to temptation? Do I become vulnerable to temptation when I'm tired? Yes. So play the movie. If I'm getting really tired, is that smart? If I've gone too long without rest, if I'm not getting the need fulfilled in a certain area, is that wise? Because my need is going to be there. And in a moment of temptation, you put the two together, I'm going to end up in problems. So we need to discover the triggers that lead to the cycle of abuse. A good example is depression. What easily follows a season of depression in your life? Lots of people in depression can easily fall prey to substance abuse. Overeating, alcoholism, pornography. These are not bad people. They're lonely people. They're hurting people. They're depressed people. They're tired people. They haven't played the movie backwards. They haven't thought long enough about how I got here, which leads me to there. All these individual scenes in the movie of your life have a following scene. Do you have an exit strategy from these things that does not involve illicit behavior? What is your strategy for dealing with depression? Do you have a plan, or are you going to go out and get drunk to drown your sorrows? Play the movie and make preparation to rescue your life from those scenes that inevitably lead to negative consequences. Now, we've just come back from a 9-week holiday, and I did that for your sake. Seriously. seriously, we were just getting to the point where, you know, most Christmases we just work right through. I mean, we take a couple of days off, but we just work right through. And I needed to see my girls. I was starting to feel resentful. I was starting to feel just burnt out. And it's like, you don't know what it's like. You know, pray for your teachers. I'm back in school again. They are good people. They are good people, and they work way above their pay grade, let me tell you. And, you know, I've had two people in my department quit in the last week just because of stress. And that's a lot of that's falling on my shoulders. And they're just not worth it. No, this is just not worth it. And so when you are in a people-involved occupation, you're constantly dealing with people, it really drains you. And I mean, it's something that you love, but it is very, very draining. Anyone who has had anything to do with that kind of a business will tell you. Your occupation as well, constantly dealing with the ratty end of life. I have a pain, and you are a pain. Hurt people, and they're always complaining, and you know, it's like you're constantly dealing with those sort of issues and stress, and you just need out. So I thought, no, I need a break, because if I don't get refreshed, I'm going to be an ugly person. And just recently I've realized too that I need to back off a little bit, take some time out. Otherwise, you lose your sensitivity to where people are. And you need to read the symptoms, read the signals, read what's going on in your life. Know yourself, know what your limits are, and don't push it. Because you may have God in you, but you are still a vessel of clay. We have this treasure in very earthen vessels. And if you haven't discovered your humanity yet, you've got a long way to go to becoming mature as a Christian. I can't remember who it was. Was it Onesimus? I can't remember which one it was. Worked himself to death for the sake of the gospel. Okay, that's not smart. We have to use wisdom. We have to look after our bodies. We have to look after ourselves. I took most of yesterday off. I knew I had to prepare for the message. I had a song service to prepare, and I had this to prepare. But I thought probably the best preparation I can do is to dig in my garden. Pull some weeds, cut down some trees. That's a whole lot safer than cutting down people. And, you know, get some of the angst out. I know when I've reached my limit. I know when I'm vulnerable. And pastors are no different from anybody else. What do you do? What do you do to relieve those triggers? What preparation do you make? Otherwise, you know you are inevitably moving towards a consequence that may be illicit or harmful. So, play the movie backwards. Take care of yourself. Business. People with good business sense play war games. What do I mean by that? They prepare strategies for what ifs. The business is going well, but they think, okay, what if there was a change in the economy? What if the market for milk suddenly dropped? What if, I don't know, whatever. Do I have an alternative strategy? War games, preparing for what ifs. And you should prepare for possible difficulties arising ahead of time. I mentioned last week about having a savings account that we should all have in case you lose your job. You should have 3 months of income put away in a savings account to support yourself for 12 weeks while you look for another job. We took that advice and we found it to be very, very good advice because we lost one source of our income. The internet dried up and we really needed that as a backup. Education, your future, play the movie. Some people avoid the commitment to education because it seems so much pain right now. Who was I talking to this morning? Was it you, Tina? You're at varsity right now? And Leslie's doing a creative writing degree. And, you know, that's fantastic. It's so good to see people, you know, committing to education. I remember my parents, when they brought me up, they really emphasized education, so much to the point that I overreacted. And with my kids, I said, oh, you don't need to go to university. You know, it's way overrated. But now, you know, I've sort of come back kind of in the middle again. It is important. And I tell my kids at school, it's really important that they give themselves to their education. And some of them aren't. And it's a real shame because they're just wasting their life. Had one class and I wrote on the board, play the movie. And of course, immediately got their attention. Where is this going? So I talked about the young man. He wanted to be in All Black, and he got out of bed 5 o'clock in the morning so he could be at school 7 o'clock, so his coach could train him, put him through his paces, then have a shower, have breakfast, and be in time for class. And every morning he'd be out there with his coach, with his team, training. And it was difficult getting out of bed that early in the morning. And sometimes it was after school. And while other boys were playing video games, he was running. He was passing the ball. He was getting knocked around on the field. He was figuring out how to recover from a broken leg or bruises. You know, it wasn't always fun and games. And then one day, he became an All Black. And Richie McCaw probably has a story like that that most of these young kids don't realize. There's a price to pay. Some kids say, gee, I'd love to be an All Black. Well, you can if you put the time in, if you pay the dues, you can. But a lot of people don't play the movie and they just waste their life. And then they look back and they think, well, gee, I wish I could have done that. I wish I could have been this. Well, you can. You can. If you've got something before you that you can work hard for, if you have a dream, give yourself to something. Sometimes people say, gosh, I love the way you play the piano, Ray. It's great. I wish I could play like you. And I say, well, you can. Starts at a very young age. You start at 5 and you practice half an hour every day in primary school. When you get to secondary school, we need to practice at least an hour a day, probably 2 hours a day. Then when you get to university, they expect you to play 5 hours a day. And I never quite made it to 5 hours. It was just too much because that was only one of 4 papers. But I'd get up 6 o'clock in the morning and go down to the university, and they had this huge old big bungalow type homestead. Huge rooms, one tiny little gas heater that never made any difference at all. And I'd be practicing for an hour before I could even feel my fingers. It was so cold. I mean, it was zero. And those keys were like icicles. I was playing on them. And I, you know, after an hour, I managed to sort of get a feeling for what I was doing. And I didn't actually enjoy it all that much, but I liked the idea of being a recording artist. And you know, learning never stops. I get depressed now when I think about having to learn logic because I want to do a professional job of my albums, but it just takes so long to learn these programs. But I do want to produce quality music. So I've got to bite the bullet, invest in the pain, and play the movie because I do want to be a success. And so if you want to be a success in any area, you need some kind of a training. It doesn't have to be university. And you know, you can teach yourself. You don't even need to. A lot of really successful people just go on the internet, or they just get out there in the business world and they just have a go. And they just look around, they just find what information they need, or they let life experiences teach them. But they're out there having a go, learning all the time, learning. And you know, we need to upskill. It's no good saying, I wish I could be an All Black. I wish I could be a successful businessman. Gee, I wish I could play the piano and be a recording artist like you. You can, But you need to get some education. That's wisdom. There's natural wisdom, skills you need to acquire before you can be any of these things. I think of my brother, 10 years he spent studying dentistry. And mate, when you sit in his chair, he doesn't charge me, he looks after our family. But he says when a client opens his mouth and I tell him it's going to cost him $10,000, if he blinks, I know he's not one of my patients. Because that's the kind of people I deal with. If you want somebody, you know, if you want a cheap dentist, you go down the road. But his patient, he's one of the top dentists in New Zealand. And you know, people say, well, your dentists charge too much. They charge like a wounded bull. And they do, don't they? But while we were all playing video games, he was studying. You know, it gets me. I'm sorry, I'm on a roll here now. They talk about the workers. What about the workers getting a fair wage? Yes, they should get a fair wage. But don't doctors and dentists and lawyers and business people work? Man, they've put so much time in studying to get the skills that they need, and we are not paying them for the half hour we're sitting in the chair. We're paying them for the 10 years it took them to be qualified to have us sit in their chair. You don't want to sit in a chair for half an hour under someone who hasn't been trained for 10 years, do you? You don't want to go under the scalpel of someone who's just had half an hour, had an hour's education. No. So some people avoid the commitment to education because it seems too much pain right now. But play the movie. Think of the joy you'll have at the end. Think of the salary you'll be on if you just put in the time now. Think of the joy you'll have in being able to, you know, be an All Black. Or think of the joy you'll be able to have in fulfilling that dream you have to be a nurse or a business person or whatever. And enjoy the movie. Play the movie all the way to the end. Not just this bit, which hurts. Don't just play this bit. Play that bit. Because you'll need that to take you through the hard road to get there. Some people say, well, it takes too long to upskill in an area. Well, the passing of time is not a choice. It will take too long. But too long is coming, period. You won't have a say in that, but you do have a say in what your life will look like when too long gets there. We often just think of the immediate comfort that comes from not doing it. But in doing that, you've made another choice as well. To have a life you hate 3 years from now. If you lack discipline to change in any area, you need two things. One, you need an outside coach or a mentor. You need some outside discipline, some external controls. And you need motivation. Play the movie. That's where your dream comes in. All right, so that was last week's one finished off. Number four, do something. Which kind of follows in nicely. So, should God make the first move? Are you controlled from the outside or from the inside? The solution to making your life better is going to come from inside you and not from the outside. A lot of people are waiting for something to happen around them. Something, you know, if I just get this opportunity, my big break will come, or I'm waiting for, I don't know, God to do something. Should God make the first move? The solution to making your life better is going to come from inside you, not from the outside. You are responsible for your own fun. That is what it means to be created in the image of God. He's a creator. He has free will, and he's given you free will and the power of choice. Successful people do something instead of nothing. Leaders are people who realize that they are empowered to find a solution. There will always be a reason why something isn't working, and it's your job to find out why and do something. Now, you can apply this in any area, in relationships, in your marriage. If only my husband would, if only my wife would, if only the boss would, if only the economy, if only whatever, you know. No. It all starts here, people. Let's take some ownership and do something ourselves to change our situation or our environment. Deja vu people tend to call on themselves as the first source to correct difficult situations. They're proactive. They do not see themselves as victims of people and circumstances, but as active participants who take steps to influence outcomes. Do not wait for a solution to come and find you. You go and find it. Turn your face towards a situation and lean into it. Dr. Cloud makes a statement, "I've never seen successful people stall because of some feared, anticipated, or hypothetical outcome. They just do not think that way. They get active and face into it. Unless there is some good reason to believe that making a move is not wise, they do something. And by the way, not making a move is making a move." Everyone say, do something. I am going to do something. Now think about your situation, whatever it is, because obviously everyone's in a different place, and what I'm saying is relevant to varying degrees for everybody in different situations. So you don't need to pray hard. Right now, what I'm saying is talking to you about some area of your life. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You already know. It's not hard. It's there. It's right in front of you, nagging you. We all have our issues. All right? Say with me again. I am. Now, we're talking about me here, not the pastor, not my husband, not my spouse, not the doctor, not the weather, not my next boss. I am going to do something.
Something.
Just something. There you go, just do it. It's the what is the problem, right? But I find if you just get started, if you just put your hand to something. I remember when I didn't have a job in the States. I got a job pulling staples in a lawyer's office for $6 an hour. That's all I did all day was pull staples. Because I knew the principle that it's hard to steer a ship that isn't moving. And a man who doesn't work doesn't eat. And you soon learn that fairly quickly if you haven't got a job. And I knew the principle that I needed to be doing something. And I just got any job I could find. And I did it. Now, in the meantime, I looked for something else because $6 an hour wasn't going to feed my kids. But it was something. And some of us need to just do something. There's wisdom right there. The promised land is not coming to you. Did you ever figure out the Jewish people had to travel, fight wars, and cross a river? God provides for the birds of the air, but have you ever seen one that did not leave the nest? Does God drop mosquitoes into the bird nest? Nope. But Jesus said he provides for the birds of the air. And he does. He provides bugs for flying birds that go out and seek them. Yeah. Ask yourself the question now. What can I do to make this situation better? Because as a deja vu person, you are empowered to take initiative and be proactive. You are responsible for your own situation. You are responsible for your own fun. What can I do? See, each one of us needs to take ownership for his or her own life. I own my life. It's mine. To own my life means it is mine and no one else's. I can't blame anybody else for what I do with it or don't do with it. It's mine. Addicts who take ownership of their addiction do this every day. They cannot do any better, but they can do better at handling not being able to do any better. They get help. Responsibility and ownership means that we have to take control, even of being out of control. No blame, no victims. Unable, but responsible for their inability. Gosh, I wish someone had taught me this, 30, 40 years ago. Because I've lived most of my life waiting for God to do something. Even something as simple as advertising, that we have a church. I thought that was like, you know, well, I mean, God said he'd build his church. We shouldn't be doing something as carnal as putting an advert in the newspaper, should we? But that's like the bird sitting in the nest saying, well, if God wants to feed me, then here I am, God. Surely God wouldn't want me to do anything as carnal as flap my wings and go look for a bug. And a lot of Christians, you know, this is where we have, as a family, and the church has perpetuated this. The church has perpetuated so much nonsense over the years. The Bible says itself that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. That is word, people. It is word. The children of this world, the heathen, are wiser. They have more wisdom than you and I do. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they're not sitting there waiting for God to do something, because they don't believe in God. Their only other option is to do something themselves. And they get out there and they make it happen. And boy, are they successful. And we sit around wondering where the God of prosperity is. I'll tell you where he is. He's inside you, waiting for you to do something. Well, I thought that was quite good, actually. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. But we have to do our part while others are doing their part to help us. Deja vu people, none of them needs to be told it's your life. They already know that and live accordingly. You get anything out of this?
Yeah.
All right, one or two people, well, that's good. I loved his chapter on dating. If you are a young boy or a young girl looking for Mr. Perfect, well, unfortunately, there aren't any perfect people out there. And if you're waiting for Mr. Perfect, I got some good advice for you. Just start looking for somebody. Develop a get moving strategy. Just develop a get moving strategy. Seek and you shall find. Look in all the right places. How about this one? Girls have to wait to be asked out, right?
Wrong.
You might be waiting a long time, honey. Let me tell you, it's really hard for a guy to ask a girl out. I remember before I got married, I dated one or two girls. I remember getting on the phone once. It took me a week to pluck up courage just to call this girl, ask her out to the movies. And I said, would you like to go to the movies with me? And you know what she said? Oh, no, not you. I've never forgotten that. I mean, I was so shattered. It was like, it was years before I even thought about asking anybody out again. Oh, and you want some guy to ask you out. Yeah, right. I tell you what, they are just as nervous as you are. Why don't you take the pressure off and ask them out? They might be hugely relieved. You don't have to make it a date. Just strike up a friendship with somebody. Just be a friend. All right. Ask yourself a situation. What can I do to make this situation better? How can I improve my lot? What skills do I need to develop? What fears do I need to get past? You know, I figured out when I was dating that my problem was I didn't think I was very desirable as a person. I don't know why. I don't know how that possibly ever occurred to me. But I thought that I was not the sort of person that people would want to go out with. So I memorized a scripture. Thanks be to God who always leads me in his victory in Christ and makes manifest through me the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I must have quoted that verse 10,000 times. Basically, what it did for me is it changed my perception of myself. It told me that wherever I went, there the presence of God would manifest. And the Bible says that the presence of God is the most desirable thing on the planet. That's his name, Desire of the Ages. It's one of the names of God. Not many people realize that. People want God more than anything else in the world. They just don't know it. He is the desire of the ages. And I thought, God lives in me. And the scripture says, thanks be to God, who makes manifest in me the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ in every place. So I began to think of myself as a sort of person who walked into a room and the presence of God came with me and I became very attractive. And people would want to spend time with me. Because I was the sort of guy who walked into a room and there'd be like 10 people there and I'd be so scared of the social environment that I'd walk up to a picture on the wall and look at the picture. And I'd spend half the evening doing that because I couldn't talk to people. And then God made me a preacher. See, you wouldn't know that now. But there's power in the Spirit of God in you, and there's power in the Word to change people's lives. Now, I had to equip myself with a different set of thoughts. I had to change the way I was thinking about myself before I could ever get married. Because I'm telling you now, someone who goes to a social outing and looks at the paintings on the wall all evening is not going to get a date. They are just not, unless there's someone else who's got the same problem than you. If you're having problems, relational issues, getting a date or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, ask yourself, what do I need to work on? What is there about me that, do I need to be more polite? Do I need to be more pleasant? Do I need to laugh a bit more? I don't know. Do I need to go to the right places? Do I need to go where there's people, Who do I need to meet? How can I invest my talent? These are questions that God's system demands of those who expect success. Then he asks us to ask him for his provision to open doors and make opportunities for that initiative to be exercised. We must pray, he says, and then we must also act. We must do something. Relationships. Do not wait for your kids or your spouse or employer or anyone to first show you respect. Move towards them and find out where their heart is and where the breach has occurred between you and them. Get into their world. Do not require them to come over to yours. And I've found that sometimes in the church I feel like there's a little bit of something there between me and that person, and I'm not sure what they're thinking, and I'm thinking, well, I'll let them figure it out. They can sort it out. And, the months go by, and sometimes even years go by, and I feel that little bit of, and then after all, I think, now, hang on. If there is a fence between you and someone else, or there's a fence between you and them, or whatever, you are the one who always ought to go and take initiative. You ought. Be proactive. You ought to go and see them. And I've been amazed at times, I've chatted up someone and said, how you doing, And there's just nothing. It was just something that you thought, Be proactive. Engage the other person while they're in whatever mood you think they're in and do what you can to help them negotiate it. If a relationship is going through a difficult stage, don't wait for the stage to end on its own. Be proactive. Do something. Business. If the economy is lousy, do not wait for it to change. Gain a skill in a different field. Ask God's blessing on your work, but don't ask him to do it for you. We are to act like him. That's what it means to be in his image or likeness. Make choices. Be creative. Dream up solutions. He provides the resources. We are to use them. We are to be productive. To the degree that we allow life to just happen, we're not living up to our true humanity by reflecting God's nature. And that may be the reason we are stuck and not getting anywhere. One of the things that I made a pact with God a while ago, that because I was so frozen in time and space with this whole fear of acting out of God's will, I just made a decision just to get myself moving. I says, God, look, your word says you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What does that mean? It means God expects you to take some initiative. Yes, we should pray whether we should start a business in that city or that city. You know, the Bible does say to pray. But once we think we've got the mind of God, once we've got a peace on it or a confidence, we should do something. And we might be wrong, and that doesn't matter. Because making mistakes is part of the success process. Everybody who's ever done anything has made heaps of mistakes. Heaps. It's the way you learn. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes, but you're going to learn by making your own as well. So I said to the Lord, Lord, here's the deal. I'm just going to be frozen in time and space unless I actually move. So your word says you'll hear a voice behind you. In other words, I'm going to take a step in this direction. I'm going to do something. It's my life. I'm responsible for it. I'm a steward of what you have given me. I'm not going to breathe the oxygen to no avail any longer. I'm going to bear fruit somewhere. So I'm going to do this. And if it's what I should not be doing, if it's the wrong direction for my life, your word promises me, I will hear a voice behind me saying, no, 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 wrong direction, go this way. But until I hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it, I will assume the way I'm going is the way I'm supposed to be going. And that's the only way to be proactive. And I find a lot of Christians are living in a state of paralysis of analysis. Am I in God's will? Look, God's will isn't actually so minutely constructed that you're going to miss it if you just go one degree off. His will is what you want to do. He says, what do you want to do with your life? It's your life. God, do you want me to have a blue car or a red car? How stupid is that? I'm not the one driving it. You are. Even, God, should I marry this person or that person? I don't have to live with her. You do. Your choice. See what I mean? Sometimes I think we just so super spiritualize life, we lack the wisdom of getting on with the business. Do something, anything. Anything's got to be better than nothing. Now I know there's a balance to that. There's a time for waiting on God and praying about what you should do. You just don't rush off and do stuff. But I'm just trying to bring a balance here because I think some people are just way too far to the other extreme. To the degree that we allow life to just happen, we're not living up to our true humanity by reflecting God's creative nature. I love that. He's given us choices. Whatever we sow, we reap. What do you need? Sow it. Do something. Be productive with the seeds that God has given you. Sow them, work the garden, and then realize a crop in your life. Now here's one thing I'll finish with. Don't wait until you can get it all done to do something. Just do a little bit. Get started. Take one step. And I'll tell you about two boys at school that I've had the last week that really exemplify the situation. I got one boy who just living in no man's land. He's just away with the fairies and, you know, sitting in front of the computer and got to tell him five times to take his jacket off because the first four times don't register. And it's like, I mean, he's just not there. And I tried to help him. And I said to him, mate, it's your life. It's your life. Choose life. Choose life. Do something with your life. And I got another boy because he was way, way behind, just so far behind his assignments. And I got another boy because I don't actually understand all the work they're doing. So I got a system set up whereby I basically just administrate the class because I'm doing tech drawing and metalwork and woodwork and Adobe Illustrator and stuff. And they're doing designs. And I don't understand all the programs. So what I do is I get the really smart kids and I get them to go around the class and teach the kids, help them. And So I split the class up into helpers and learners. And so I went to one kid. I said, look, you know, just for example, you know, Michael, and I'm not using real names. Michael, will you go over and help Peter? Because he's just really lost. You can see he's lost, and help him. So I bring Michael over to Peter, and I say, now, Peter, Michael's going to help you, you know, get started, and, you know, you do want help, don't you? And he says, well, yeah. And I said to Michael, Michael, go back to your own work, mate. I says, just off you go. I says, we're not helping Peter. He's not sure whether he wants help or not. And that's the last I spoke to that boy. Now, you might think that's really hard. But see, I'm not taking 10 minutes of that boy's time to invest in this boy's life when he's not sure whether he wants it or not, because that's not wise. The Bible says having compassion on some. Having compassion on some. See, there's four types of soil, and you can waste your life sowing, scattering seed that's going nowhere. Rocky ground, seed by the wayside, they don't value it, they don't want it, they don't know whether they want it or not. And it's like, hello, there are 30 boys in this class, and I'm not spending a whole lot of time and taking another boy's time to invest in a boy who doesn't even know what his life's about yet. I tried to help him, but he's just not there. And unfortunately, he has to come to a place where he has to take ownership of his own life before anyone is going to help him get anywhere. And that's a hard choice I had to make. Now, here's another boy I had. This boy, he was so far behind, he was lost too. But there was a certain desperation about him. There was a certain, please, someone help me. Because I'm lost, and I know I'm lost, and I know I need help. But it's hopeless, because I'm five assignments behind. And there's no one to help me. I was sick for a week, and I got behind, and then I didn't know what to do, and I never understood anything the teacher was saying. And I just sit in front of my computer now, like this other boy. But there was a difference. There was a difference in attitude. Having compassion on some. So I went up to him, and I said, mate, I says, you are so far behind the eight ball, I don't know how this happened. He slipped through the system. He sent his assignments in without doing them, so no one knew that he actually hadn't done the work. He just got zero out of eight for five assignments. But because he'd turned them in, the flag didn't come up that he hadn't done his work. And I only discovered this just this week, and then I said, mate, I says, what happened here? He said, and you can see the fear in his eyes. He said, I know. And he'd given up because he was so far behind, it was impossible to catch up. That's how he felt. And I said, come on, mate. We're going to beat this thing. We're going to do something. See, I'm putting into practice what I learned. And oh, it just felt so empowering. It felt so empowering to give the guy some hope. I just said, look, I said, if an ant tries to build an anthill with one grain of sand, and he looks at that one grain of sand, and he says, oh, this is hopeless. This isn't an anthill. And he gives up. But if he says, but if I just take one grain of sand and put it over there, I know I can do that. And then if I just take another grain of sand and put it over there, I know I can do that. And having had success with two grains of sand, I'm pretty sure I'll be good with another grain of sand. So he picks up another grain of sand and he puts it over there. And he doesn't worry about building an anthill. He just thinks of moving one grain of sand. And before you know it, he's built an anthill. And I said, look, you're so far behind, it seems impossible. But let's just do the first thing in the first assignment. What is the first assignment? You've got to get three pictures off the internet of some key rings, and with different designs, and you've got to write a little bit about the design, whether it's sharp or jagged or smooth or oval or geometric or whatever, you know. You've got to write a little paragraph. You have 10 minutes to find me three pictures on the internet and write a sentence underneath each picture. 10 minutes. Go. Now, he needed that to jumpstart him. He needed a coach. and you might need a coach just to get started. But I tell you what, I came back in 10 minutes and he had his three pictures and he had more than a sentence. He had a little paragraph under each. I says, mate, that is fantastic. You are on your way to success. We are going to beat this dog. We're going to get this assignment in. Hit the button. And it says, turn in. And he'd never done that before in his life. I said, it's all right. Hit it. Push the button. Click. It's Google Classroom. Everything's online. And he sent it, and off it went. And I said, what's your next assignment? And we got the next one out. And I said, okay, okay, we're going to have to take some shortcuts here because this is going to take you too long. And you have to turn in three assignments by the end of this period. That's about 2 weeks' work. And you know what he did? I kept coming back to him through the whole period. I never did the work for him, but I took him by the hand. And at the end of that period, he could see the light at the end of the tunnel. He's still behind, but he feels so good because he knows he can do it, because he knows the feeling of having accomplished something just by starting. And you know, if we could just do that in whatever area it is, you feel so far behind in your relationship. You feel it's too late to make up for your kids. You feel it's too late. You're getting too old to start a business. It's too late to rescue that situation, or it's too late to learn a new trick. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? You bet you can. It's never too late. Someone told me the other day, I think it was you, Warren Buffett, made 90% of his money after he turned 60. He was over the hill. And it's when he really started to make his money. And I've had people speak into my life, your best songs have yet to be written. Your best, you know, the best is yet to come. And I really need to hear that. Because when you start to hit your 60s, you do start to feel like you're getting a bit old in the tooth. And, you know, time's passed you by. No. You know, this Tony Stoltzfus stuff that we're doing on Sunday nights, he says that most men and women don't actually really find their true calling and vocation in life till their late 50s. They don't really start to know what they're about and what they're supposed to be doing. So what do you do before then? Well, you get lots of experience. You do lots of stuff. You try this, you try that, you do this, and you do that. And the will of God is so broad, you know, but towards the end of your life, you start to fine-tune who you are. But until then, you must be doing something, anything. And whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. And God will give you success upon success upon success. And I hope my little stories about my little boys at school inspire you, because they inspire me. And I would just say to you, hope is something you need more than anything else. Just start. Just start somewhere. People who give up don't play the movie. They don't see potential with a little grain of sand. They don't see potential in pulling staples. They don't see the potential in taking one step towards rebuilding that relationship. There is power, tremendous power in doing something. And you watch God add his supernatural ability to your natural ability. God can give you back the years the canker worm has taken. He can. God can supernaturally create opportunities for you. He can make connections for you, divine connections that can speed up the process. But you have to do something. You have to do something. God is not going to take the first move. Faith takes the first step. Faith that God is watching you. And if it's the wrong one, he'll be there behind you. He's the backup. He'll say, no, good on you for having a go, but actually this is a better way. And that's the confidence I have in God, that if I take a wrong step, he'll fix it for me. He'll show me the right way to go afterwards if I've taken a wrong step. People who give up either don't play the movie, they don't have a dream that they can follow, or they play the wrong movie. They think about all the things that could go wrong. Oh, if I do this, and that might happen. Oh, that might, and they're playing out all their fears. Well, you know, something good might happen too. Something good might happen if you just do something. Father, this morning, It's a scary world out there sometimes, but we're up to it, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And I know if I just take a step of faith and do something in this area, whatever it is, you'll honor my faith and you'll multiply my seed. You'll give me success, and I will see the day when you've made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, a winner and not a loser. I believe the plans you have for me are good, and I believe that you take great pleasure in working in me, and that which you have begun, you will complete. There's a great sense of the favor of God here right now. I can just sense, I just felt God's presence come into the place when I started praying. You know, God really does care. Some of you have said, well, you know, if God this, if God that, then why this? Well, it's because we have to take ownership of our own choices that we've made in life. God's not about to take away the divine image that he's placed in us to be responsible for our lives. He loves us too much to take away that sense of our own divinity being made in his image. We're not God, but we're made in his image. And so he does expect us to be responsible for our lives. And he'll work with us. But we have to take ownership and accept responsibility for what we're doing. So, Father, right now we yield our lives to you. Lord, we yield our lives to you, but we know that there's something you require of us. Speak to our hearts now. I want every person to leave this place with a plan. Thank you, Lord.